Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, movie fans. This is Betty Jo Tucker thanking you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, of course, but if you are one, it's definitely the place to you. And we decided to celebrate Mother's Day a couple of days early this year by revisiting interviews with Cloris Leachman and her son, who appeared on our show together a few years ago, right after Cloris's terrific autobiography called Cloris was released. Cloris and George are a dynamic mother-son team, and I think you'll enjoy hearing that interview again, or for the first time, if that's the case. As you will soon hear, the interview became a comedy ambush. Cloris brought along her own sound effects, as well as her son, to join in the fun. Now, this tape lasts for almost 30 minutes, and after it's completed, I'll be back on live to report on Cloris's new projects. So now, ladies and gentlemen, here are Nikki Starr, Jazz Shaw, and yours truly, having a great but crazy time with the one and only Cloris Leachman. Of course, Cloris needs no introduction, for we've all been wowed by her in movies, on TV, or in live theater productions. So it's my great pleasure to bring her on now and to also bring on her wonderful son, George England, who is his mother's manager. So welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Cloris.
Well, I'm a number one addict.
I thought you would be. I thought you would fit right in. And welcome to you, George.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we're so glad that you could be with us today. And my co-host, Jazz Shaw, and producer Nikki Starr are also here to help with the show. So let's see if Nikki can tell us if all things are go in the chat room. Nikki, all systems
yes,
go there?
Yes, ma'am. All systems are go in the chat room. It's filling up. Everybody is so excited to have Cloris here. I'm a little starstruck. I just want to call you welcome, and I can't wait for the show, and I hope you have a great time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. We're all starstruck today. I ordinarily do not get this nervous, but I
You're
am
not
so
nervous,
sorry.
Oh, for heaven's sake. That's ridiculous.
Yes,
You're
yes,
just
I am
so great.
Right. We are not worthy. We are not worthy. But anyway, and Jazz, I know you want to welcome Cloris, and I think you're eager to get our discussion started, right?
Oh, absolutely, because I know we don't have this forever, and I was hoping I wasn't going to have to talk, because I'm sure I'll stumble all over myself with this. But why don't we kick it off? There's so many things to get to when it comes to the fabled history of Cloris Leachman, but we did want to talk about your book. We've provided links to it at a few different websites for this in preparation. I was going back and looking over some things, and Howard Cosell, this may seem like an odd way to start, wrote a number of things. He said the hardest book he ever wrote was his autobiography because it was so easy to talk about everybody else because you could say anything you wanted. What sort of challenges did you run into writing your own biography instead of talking about a character or about someone else? Did you find that more difficult
well,
or was
I
it
have,
easier
I
for
have,
you? Or?
I've lived a long life, so what to put in the book and what not to put in the book. There's a lot I wish I had time to put in the book. We were under a pretty big time constraint. We handed it in, and they said, no, it's way too short. We need another third. So, figure out what the next third was going to be included in it.
And that I think I can identify with that because I wrote an autobiography too, but it turned out being only about movies, as movie addicts are wont to do. I'm just so impressed with the way you did, Cloris, include all aspects of your life. You talked about your career, your family, your friends, and your honest feelings. Right, and your honest feelings about everything that's happened to you. But my favorite books, part of the book was, and I have to admit this, were those behind-the-scenes showbiz anecdotes that you share with readers. I am still chuckling over the actor studio stories about Marlon Brando, about the chicken and your imitation of a lizard. Which one of those was your favorite? And could you tell our listeners a little bit about Marlon Brando, the actor studio? Well, yeah, one of the stories, right, about the chicken or your imitation of a lizard.
No, I like the one where we had to use objects or we had to do things without something. For instance, one person got up and he was going to show us how you peel a banana without the banana. So
right, I remember that one too.
So he put his left hand up and he started peeling very, 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 very carefully. Very carefully down, and then his other took another little piece on the top and started pulling it down, and started with the next, and he said, "Oh my God, oh my God, I can smell it." He thought the scent was. He was doing such a magnificent job that he could smell it. I was sitting in the second row eating a banana.
That is a great story. And if I remember correctly, you had some mixed feelings about your experience with the Actors Studio. Is that right?
No, that isn't true. No. Loved it beyond words. You can't imagine how much it meant to me, what an extraordinary part of my life it was, and I credit it almost entirely with making me better than I could have been. And, Anna brought me my most wonderful homemade soup. Oh, what is it? Potato, celery, leeks. Oh, yum. Yum. Mm.
I can smell it. I wonder if my husband's eating soup in the next room.
Think
I know
eat.
She's making me hungry. So.
Yeah. Well, if I eat something, would it sound like...
Cloris, you kind of had a reputation of being Peck's bad girl there for a while, didn't you?
Well, I think I still do.
I think you do. I think you do, too. Well, with all the... Oh, my gosh, I was just reading the statistics that you included in your book. 11 Broadway plays, 57 films, and 137 television shows. What a record.
I think I've done a lot more television shows since that came out.
You probably have. That's right. Thank
yeah.
heavens, because we do love to see you. And I will tell the listeners that our PR person at Blog Talk Radio remembers the Phyllis theme song. And but he's got a different version, and here's
That's
one of
good.
The lines.
I like it better.
Yeah, here's one
he
of the lines.
It for me first.
Who lights the hearts of listeners to our radio show? Who, Cloris, Cloris, Cloris? It sure is you. Instead of what was it, Phyllis?
Sure,
it sure isn't. It sure isn't you. But I think Phil is a big fan, just like the rest of us. Well, with everything that you wrote about in Cloris, what gave you the most satisfaction to get out of your system or to put down on paper? There's that celery in that soup.
What did I like to write about the best?
What was the, what gave you the most satisfaction to write about?
Oh, I think the thing that has the most meaning to me, of course, is my son and my husband.
Yes, and your son is there. George, we've been neglecting you. Did,
yes, you
did
have.
You?
I'm trying to cope with this abuse, emotional abuse.
It is emotional abuse, I think. Well, what did you like best about your mom's autobiography?
Well, it's a journey through her whole life. Some of it I've lived through, but it's just amazing the range and the different people and experiences are, I think they're told in a really interesting and honest way. So it's just a journey for me when I read it. Through life.
People ask me about my a couple of little sex stories in there in public, and George will cover up his ears.
George, you
oh,
can
no.
use him. George, put some cotton in your ears now. Your mom's going to tell all here.
That's right. Mom!
That was... Cloris, that was a surprise to me, that part of the book. That... You know, when I did my review...
to me, too, believe me.
When I wrote my
more
review
of
your...
More surprise to me than to you.
I guess so. But I didn't tell in my review. I didn't give it away. About
yes, we've got to leave them something so that the listeners can go out and buy the book. They have something to look forward to.
but now,
right.
Cloris, you called them dalliances. I thought that was very elegant.
Because they weren't emotional. You know, I mean, it didn't, it's not something that you keep in your heart forever. Well, yes, you do. That's not true.
Or you wouldn't have put it in your book, right?
Yeah.
But we will urge the listeners to buy a copy of Cloris and find out about these mysterious dalliances.
Yeah, but as a lover of the language, I still just love the word dalliance because that's more from an era when people took a lot more care in their writing and before language got a lot more crude with some of the things that you pick up and read today. You know, it's just a nicer way to say the same thing.
Good point, yeah. Saz. Good point.
It's screwing, right?
Well, we weren't going to go quite there. But moving right along, Betty Jo mentioned already, we could never possibly touch on the entire breadth and depth of your career, but you do share quite a bit of that with us in your autobiography. From your incredible number of movies and television appearances, could you just share with us one or two of your favorites? What are some of the memories when you're writing the book that you look back on, your favorite times on film, on the big screen and the little screen?
That's too big a question for me.
Well, we'll have to tell what our favorites are. How would that be?
That's good.
So you can finish eating your soup. Okay.
No, I'm just starting.
Oh, no.
Delicious soup.
I am getting so hungry. Well, Jazz, how about you? Do you have a favorite or two of Cloris Leachman's movie performances?
Well, there's... one collection of work, and we won't try to get into too many of the specifics, but I will say the fans, particularly the chatters who show up every week who wrote in, all picked the same area as mine and would like to know, you know, what were some of your memories of working with Mel Brooks? Because those are certainly some of my favorite moments, and obviously for a lot of the fans who have contacted us about this, you know, it's like, how was it working with Mel Brooks?
It was just... Gene never stopped laughing. He just in every time we do a scene, we have to chew here.
Sound effects, okay. We always wanted sound effects. Now we have them with Cloris, okay.
I think that you shouldn't eat unless we all have some food.
Well, you can come over.
Oh, George, thank you. Thank you, George.
I don't have any food.
I don't either. Here we are starving, and there's Cloris Leachman.
We're going to have a party tonight for my birthday, which is Thursday.
Yay!
We're have a party just at early dinner. But we're trying to get my friends to come and my family.
Wow, well, just a minute here. Jazz, George, and Nikki. Nikki, are you there, Nikki? Nikki, come back online.
Well, you know, of course I am. I am here,
right.
And my tummy's growling.
Okay, now... Thursday is Cloris's birthday, so you know what that
I
means.
I heard that.
Jazz and George and...
We're
going, okay.
What?
All right, here we go. At the count of three. One, two,
yep.
Three. Happy birthday,
happy
to,
birthday
you.
To you.
Happy
birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy
birthday,
dear
Cloris.
Happy
birthday.
Singing I've ever heard.
I know.
And this is why none of us get paid for singing. I can
That's
tell.
Right.
You know, we're all fired. That's it.
Well,
oh,
we wish
thank
you a very, very happy birthday and many
83.
More.
Not silly.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That much.
That's wonderful. That really is
I
wonderful.
Know.
And but we were talking about Mel Brooks, and I was listening to a Blog Talk Radio show this morning, Sunny Days, and your name came up, Cloris Leachman, and everyone in the chat room started putting down this scene where in Young Frankenstein, the horses whinny every time they hear Frau
Blücher.
And why was that? Why were the horses whinnying
because
every time?
Means glue.
Oh, so that's
you know,
why.
I never knew that all these years. I've seen that movie probably 50 times, and I never knew that.
He never told anybody.
Well, that explains
the
horses.
Me years later.
Talk about your inside jokes. Wow.
Yeah, I know. We also didn't ever use my nickname for Nurse Diesel, which was Iron Pits.
And,
I forgot to use it, and so did Mel. We just forgot about it. I loved it.
Oh, no. Well, that was the other character that came up in the
I love
Sunny
that one. That was
show.
Really fun to do.
High anxiety.
Oh, yes, Dr. Ashley felt that color has a great deal to do with the well-being of the emotionally disturbed.
I'm like you working with Mel Brooks. All I could do is laugh. Oh, that was... And you and Harvey Korman together.
Oh, we had a wonderful time.
Oh, that was...
Harvey's up for anything, you know. He's a serious actor, and he always wanted everybody to know that he did Shakespeare and should be doing Shakespeare. What was he doing this for? No, he never looked down on this, but he always felt that we should all know that he was a Shakespearean actor, primarily.
Ah.
He was good in almost everything. He pretty much everything he appeared in, just so memorable.
He was funny.
But you know, he was just terrific. And, you know, you certainly have such a reputation for being in comedies and making us laugh, but your Oscar for The Last Picture Show was a very, very serious role, right?
And they don't seem to give Oscars for comedies much.
No, I definitely would have given you one for your work with Mel Brooks in both of those movies, High Anxiety and Young Frankenstein.
They were fun. I think especially, of course, Young Frankenstein is a classic, a real classic.
The Oscars seem to stop paying attention to comedies a very, very long time ago, unfortunately. Yeah, it's hard to get any attention in that direction.
What'd you say?
It's been many years since they've got even nominations for anything that was remotely funny. I mean, there was a time in the 50s and 60s when you would see some of the romantic comedies getting nominated and getting attention, but not so much anymore.
No. Well, you don't really have them anymore.
Well, that is a shame. That really is a shame. But why did you take up acting as a career? Now, of course, we're all delighted and thrilled that you did, but what drew you to being an actress?
It's a long and difficult question because it isn't an easy answer. You know, everything in my life has contributed to my being an actress, everything. Dancing has, piano has, my teachers have. Mrs. Shannon in third grade had me read before the class. That was quite a big deal for me because I'd never been singled out before, except once when I was 6 years old. We were at Greenwood Park, and another group of families was some distance away. But somehow or other, there was going to be a running race, with the children. Somehow or other, I don't know how I got involved with it, and the first prize was a doll. The second prize was a baby buggy, doll buggy, and the third prize was a dollar. And so, of course, I chose to come in third because I wanted the dollar, and I did. I got over there with the group, and I came in third, so I got the dollar. That was a big deal for me, too. I have little short legs. I can't run fast at all. It was just intention. I think a great word is intention. That's a very powerful word.
Yes.
Even in law, it's powerful.
Yes, it is. And once you have an intention, you really go out and get it. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I know I never went to get a part. I never went to try out for a part, ever.
Right.
Most people do that. I go to get the part.
Exactly. And it's
fun
for you, isn't it?
No,
and it's fun for you, too.
A lot. Like, I'm all state, I'm here, I'm the man for the job. The woman for the job.
Well, that ties in really nicely to one of the things I wanted to ask you. You go out, you know, to just get the role. Now, after you've landed the role, how do you prepare for it? Because we've interviewed a number of people, and different actors have different ways of approaching it. Some of them describe it as putting on a suit that you wear for the entire time the project is going on. You can get lost in it even when you go home at night. For others, it's more of a 9-to-5 job. How do you always prepare for your roles?
I don't think I do prepare normally at all. As soon as I get the script, I kind of lie in bed and think about, let it rest with me. I remember one time I was doing a play called Twigs by George Firth, who wrote Company and a few other things. And I was playing three sisters and their mother in four different little playlets, all part of one thing. And, the second sister, her husband wouldn't pay attention to her at all, and he had a friend over, and all they were talking about was how you get to here from here to there, and God, and I just wanted to be involved. So I decided to do a tap dance.
Yay!
So I got a little case, and I put different things in it, like my favorite memories of things, and it was my little treasure box. And in it was a pair of old tap shoes. And I, as if I had been in the movies when they just first kind of began and talkies, you know, and I, well, a little farther than that. But I was a dancer in the line, let's say. And so I learned, I put on my tap shoes and I did what I thought I remembered from one film, let's say. And so I was lying in bed and trying to, well, I got Patsy Kelly to come over. Do you remember her?
Oh, well, I do. I think the others are
she was a great, great, wonderful character actress.
Yes.
And she would just come on screen or stage, and everybody started laughing. I don't think she had much of a chin, and she was just hilarious, doing nothing, you know. But so I was doing a movie with her, The North Avenue Irregulars for Disney, and I asked her to come over and help me do a tap dance. Well, after a few drinks and smoking, she was useless. And and then I had a dancer come over to try to help me. And nothing was helping. It just wasn't quite it had to be a funny tap dance. So I was lying in bed one night, and I just sort of invented this tap dance. I knew I wanted to go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, boom, and throw my left foot over my right in a kind of... And so I designed it. And finally, when I did it on stage, ladies literally would wet their pants laughing, and they'd all line up for the ladies' room in order to fix themselves. I mean, it was just really, really funny.
I wish I could see that, Cloris.
But a lot of times I'll do things in bed, think of what I want to do. I don't know if anybody saw Mrs. Harris. With Annette Bening and Lawrence.
Yes.
I did.
Well, on that one, I did a lot of that in bed. I would even sit up as I was talking. I wanted it to be, of course, very serious, but funny too, and I had to figure out things. And if you notice that part, you'll see I worked very hard on it, and I think it was very successful.
So you take
the
script to bed, and you basically visualize what you're going to do when you show up for work, and you've already got that in your mind.
Kind of, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What about the role that costumes play with you in your role preparation? You talked about that quite a bit in your book, and I thought that was very interesting.
Well, it's true. I mean, I remember when Polly Platt had a big, long stand with all these different choices on it, and I found my brown coat, and I found my brown hat, and I found the underwear, you know, with the concentric circles sewing in the bra and little white panties. You know, it just told me who I was, and when I put them on, I just knew who I was.
And
so sad,
in high anxiety, that costume had to have a lot to do with how you played Nurse Diesel.
I walked into 20th Century Fox, and I stepped into it. They zipped it up, and it fit perfectly. So then I had them padded here and there, including on the top of my shoulders, so I'd have a shorter neck. But it pulled these ice cream cone breasts way up high, too, under my chin. But it was funny, so I left it there.
It was.
And sometimes I'll help make myself up. You know, if you're a character, you're very individual, so you can't let them make you up normally to beautify you. You have to be like you don't know about makeup. And that's what I did in High Anxiety. I had a little black pencil, and I did different things, including I didn't even plan it. I just put a mustache on while I was waiting, and then they called me to the set, and I had to match it after that because I forgot to take it off.
Film continuity, yes.
That's right. Well, when I can understand how being in those types of costumes would really help get you into the character. You know, we've neglected George again, so I wanted to ask
George
what.
Say something.
Well, I'm busy being invited on another talk show right now.
Oh, no, don't leave. George.
You're being invited on another talk show, George?
Yeah, there's a on this the website for this show, I just put it out there that I'm being neglected. I need to be on another show. I can talk all I want.
Well, you can say anything you want, George.
We're going to give you your...
Soapbox. Betty Jo, we're being thrown over for a better offer.
Oh, I know. Oh, I'm so sad. Well, we'll have to let you say whatever you would like to say, George, but I did want to know what your favorite role that your mother's had in a movie is.
Young Frankenstein and High Anxiety are two of my favorites. Young Frankenstein is such a classic. It's like the godfather of comedy.
I agree. Well, I agree with you. Those are my two favorites. But now, is there anything else that you would like to say instead of going over to another talk show?
Well, is Nikki Starr somebody to talk to?
Nikki Starr, she can get you a whole lot of other talk shows, I think. But I did want to, and I'm glad you brought up Nikki Starr's name, because Nikki, is there anything from the chat that you'd like to share with Chloris and with George?
Georgie hasn't said anything yet.
No, let her say that.
Right, we need to hear George.
We need to hear George. Is that what they're saying in the chat?
And yes, and he is talking to me in the chat room. And so, of course, I don't have a political show.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to know. I want to hear how it is having such a great and funny and witty and talented mother.
I'm incredibly privileged, and I appreciate it every day. It's amazing. And I think I'm just realizing that people have always asked me, what's it like having a famous mother, or is she really like that in real life? And, you know what you're used to experiencing, so to me it's normal. But as we've gotten this past year and a half that I've been managing her, I've been able to step out a bit, be more objective, and see how other people see both of us. And I do recognize that I have a very unique and privileged position right now to be spending time with her and appreciate all the things she does. She's totally amazing. Every day I'm taught how to live in the moment by her, just watching her.
See, now that is one of the interesting points where we can give your poor mother a break to finish her soup and pick on you a little bit. We've seen stories from other, not to imply anything about your mom, but with certain divas, the stories that we've seen, when you do business with family members, sometimes you can run afoul of some problems. What is that like, having to manage your own mother? Is there any friction that comes up, any problems with the business, you know, separating those two roles, son and manager?
There's friction. I think it's been a really hectic pace on this book tour, and there's so much going on. But we always resolve things. We love each other, and that always survives anything that comes up. And I think we work really well together. So if there is friction, we get through it quickly. And we just have two different styles. She's very spontaneous about everything. I like to be organized and have plans laid down. But at the end of the day, I look at it, and she's been a success in whatever event or movie or, you know, whatever it is. People love her. And I have to accept that that's how she operates, and neither one is better than the other. I think they both are important, to be organized and spontaneous.
Well, that's a lot better than my business relationship with my mom, where we disagree and she explains why I'm wrong and I say, yes, Mom. But I'll give it back to you, Betty Chu.
Well, I think that you make a great team, Cloris and George. I really do. I'm quite impressed with the way that you work together. And Cloris, I think that you've trained George very well.
No, he's training me.
I think that Cloris might be right about that, folks. Here we are, back live, and I'm happy to report that Cloris celebrated her 90th birthday on April 30th, and she is still going strong. And our present to Cloris is not singing the birthday song to her again. I'm sure that will please her. I want to tell you listeners that I'm so pleased that we have two celebrities in our chat room this afternoon who have joined us. We have Nancy Lombardo, who is the hilarious host of Comedy Concepts here on Blog Talk Radio, and who just is celebrating quite a success for her one-woman show off-Broadway called Cinementia. And I'm just so delighted that she's with us today in the chat room. She also has indicated that she is an extra in a movie, an upcoming movie that Cloris Leachman is in, and it's called The Comedian. And so we're just delighted about that. We're also happy that Morgan Lawrence, the famous Morgan Lawrence, is here with us in the chat room. He's an author and an actor, raconteur, and a Renaissance man, I think. And he's been trying to call in by Skype and raising some questions. And so I'm sorry that some of our listeners didn't realize that this was a interview that we had with Cloris Leachman and her son a few years ago. But Molo's coming up with some great questions, and he's very gung-ho about young Frankenstein. Nancy also wanted to let everybody know that her CDs are on CD Baby, so bye, bye, bye. So we're happy to recommend those. And Morgan has a book out called The Streets Ran Red, which is just a terrific book, and I recommend that to everyone. Now, I wanted to tell you that I had a telephone conversation with George a couple of years after this interview with him and his mom, and he mentioned that one of the activities that they engaged in together after the show took part. It was a special dance event at a New York high school, and Cloris headlined the program, and George went along to play the saxophone, and they both had a great time. And I'm also happy to report that Cloris has some interesting movie projects coming up, which I will talk about right after these brief messages from two loyal listeners.
Hi, comedian Nancy Lombardo here, host of Comedy Concepts, Blog Talk Radio. And when I need my movie fix, you'll know where I'll be found. That's right, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., listening to Betty Jo Tucker on Movie Attic Headquarters Blog Talk Radio. Show me the funny, Betty. Show me the funny.
You're listening to Movie Attic Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker. She's the real deal in what's happening on film. And if you're not real careful, you might hear the confessions of a movie addict. So get your popcorn and stay right there in your seat for Movie Addict Headquarters. And now back to our feature.
Thanks, Steve and Nancy, for those fun promos. And as most of you know, Comedy Concepts airs on Monday and Friday mornings at 10:30 Eastern Time here on Blog Talk Radio. It's always such a fun show. In fact, I'm hooked on it. But also, don't forget to check out the Mom and Pop Shop show over there on Dreamstream Radio each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a very interesting, entertaining show, of course, because the host is none other than Mr. Showbiz himself, George Bettinger. And let's not forget all the diverse shows on the Wacko Network on Mixlr, that's M-I-X-L-R. There's something for everyone in the Wacko wheelhouse. Now, Molo mentioned in the chat room that he is filming a TV series called The Clemens of Davy. So I'm hoping that Molo will, as we call him, will join us live soon to talk a little bit more about that and his various projects. Well, as I promised, I want to give you information about Cloris Leachman's current and upcoming projects. But first, let's just run down some of her remarkable accomplishments to date. She's been entertaining audiences in movies and on TV for over half a century, and also with her very impressive stage performances. Cloris has worked with such megastars as Paul Newman, Meryl Streep, Steve McQueen, Katharine Hepburn, Diane Keaton, and Sissy Spacek. And I went over to the Internet Movie Database to see how many acting credits Clora has accrued. 268 acting credits for Cloris. I think that's remarkable. And among her numerous films that are quite memorable, we've already talked about three of them. The Last Picture Show, which earned her a Best Supporting Actress Oscar, and then our favorites, of course, Young Frankenstein and High Anxiety. And her television career is equally remarkable, even without considering that sensational appearance she made on Dancing with the Stars. I think she was the oldest contestant up at that date. They may have had some older than that later, but she was just marvelous in Dancing with the Stars. She's won 9 Emmys, 9, count them, for her brilliant work in such shows as Malcolm in the Middle, Mary Tyler Moore, Promised Land, and A Brand New Life. And I have heard from fans who just love her in the TV series Raising Hope. Fortunately, according to the Internet Movie Database, Cloris has 3 films listed for 2016. And the first one is The Bronx Bull. That's about Jake LaMotta, and it also stars Joe Mantegna, who's a friend of our show, and William Forsythe. The second one is titled, Is That a Gun in Your Pocket? And that's a comedy, of course. And she also has a film called So Be It, which is still in post-production. Then in 2017, that's when she will be seen in The Comedian. It's in post-production, too. And that's the comedy that Nancy Lombardo served as an extra in. Also starring is Robert De Niro, Danny DeVito, and Edie Falco. And I just can hardly wait to see that. As far as television is concerned, I think she will be in a new TV series in 2017 called American Gods. And regarding Cloris's autobiography, which, by the way, would make an excellent Mother's Day gift, it can be ordered at Amazon.com. I highly recommend it. It is such fun reading, especially for people who like inside information. Well, it's almost time to wrap things up. So I want to be sure to thank Cloris Leachman and George Englund Jr. for being such terrific guests. I could listen to their interview on Movie Attic Headquarters over and over again. I think it's a classic. Thanks also to Nikki and Jazz for their help, as well as to our chatters and other listeners. And today, especially, thanks to Morgan Lawrence and Nancy Lombardo. And finally, here's a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. Please come back next time for our summer film preview. We have three of our favorite film critics who will drop by to share their candid opinions about upcoming summer movies. And it's Nell Minow, the famous movie mom, A.J. Hockery, the Mad Movie Man, and film critic Mac Bates, so don't miss that. We have some other exciting shows lined up for May. On the 17th, we'll have filmmaker Linda Palmer, who is just really earning accolades for a movie that she has made called Last Call at Murray's. And she even has a web series that's up for an Emmy, plus some other films. She just is so talented and creative, and I'm so glad that we're going to be able to talk with her on Movie Addict Headquarters. And then on May 24th, we'll be doing a Beauty and the Beast 25th anniversary show with Diana Sanger, founder of Classic Movie Guide, and our favorite film historian, James Colt Harrison. In the meantime, though, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. And if you haven't ordered your copy of Cinema Stanzas, Rhyming About Movies yet, that's my latest book, please go over to the Kindle store at Amazon.com and buy the book for only $3.99. I want to thank everyone who has already ordered the book. I'm so happy that it's getting rave reviews. Now, because we're celebrating Mother's Day, as well as Cloris Leachman's extraordinary showbiz career, here's Kenny Loggins to take us out with a song that always makes me want to celebrate. Get ready, everybody. Here comes Footloose.